if we're wanting to understand how to grow in the things of God and how to obtain all the promises of God, it's not going to happen without renewing the mind. But you will never know the perfect will of God for your life without entering into this life process of renewing your mind.
Want to know more about the things of God? Then don't miss today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest Creflo Dollar as they share the three steps to renewing your mind and learning more about God. Now here's Kenneth.
Well, praise God, everybody. Jesus is alive. He's Lord and doing well. Praise God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. We didn't catch him off guard when we prayed about our finances. He didn't say, oh, my goodness, Father, what are we going to do about that? I ain't thought about that. No, no. Hey, you know what? You know what? When the devil's doing it, and Jesus said, oh, my God, look what the devil's doing. What are we going to do? No, you know what the Word said? It says he sits in heaven and laughs at him. You the devil saying, what? I mean, he's sitting there laughing at him, and I decided I'm going to do the same thing. Just laugh at him and pray, and just praise God, get right back in the Word and say, what do you think about this, Mr. Devil?
Amen.
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 If he hadn't been such a fool, he could be enjoying life right now. But he ain't got no joy. Mm-hmm. Ain't never going to have any joy. Mm-hmm. And his outcome is not good. Mm-hmm. God's going to take him and just sail him off out. Just sail him off out. He built this lake of fire and put him in it and pew, and just spin him off out there and then and then let him soak for a billion years. And you are, hey, laugh at him and tell him what you know from the Word of God.
Amen.
And watch him run and hide, because he's full of pride and fear. He don't want to think about that. And if you keep talking to him about that, he get away from you. Praise. I don't know what I got off on that, but I am so excited about what God is doing right now, Creflo. And that things in the world are being exposed for what they really are, and the destruction of ungodliness is at hand, and here we sitting on top of the mountain.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it good?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord.
Glad I'm on the Lord's side.
I am too.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't see how you keep all that stuff you never made but one payment. Yeah, it was a big, nice big payment. Ain't got no more payments. Praise God.
Boy, that feels good.
Oh, it does.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, man. Praise God. Let's go right back in here. Let's pray first. Father, we just give you praise and thanksgiving for this broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for sending Brother Creflo to us. We receive the gift of anointing that you put in him and on him. And we thank you in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Where were we, Creflo? 12th chapter of Romans.
When we closed yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back over there. In fact, why don't you just pick it up there and read the scripture from there and just take us into it.
Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your...
Oh, by the mercy of God, not by the law of God.
Yeah.
I ain't never...
Yeah.
Whoa, that turned something loose in me.
We're not enslaved by
by the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Mercy and grace and goodness, just because he loves you, Creflo.
The whole thing is because he loves us. Jesus said, I didn't come to undo the law. He says, I came to fulfill it with love. He says, now here's what I'm getting ready to do. Do what you do based in love. Tithe based in love.
Oh, yeah.
Give based in love. Pray based in love. Don't do it because you feel like you're under a law to do it. But see God, as you said the other day, as a servant serving you the opportunities.
That's what he said.
The opportunities.
I am the servant of all.
Wow.
What does a servant do? He serves you. When he said, what got me into that was in Mark 11, when he said, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't saying, you better have faith in God. No, he's saying, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. He's serving faith. Mm-hmm. And it changed my whole perspective of the thing. Why is he saying that? Only one reason. Because he loves me and he wants to see me overcome. Mm-hmm.
And we cannot deny that. And that's even our thinking where the love of God's got to change. It's got to change where we got to renew our mind where the love of God, the unconditional love of God. And we got to renew our mind to the fact that God doesn't have love. He is love. And when we do that, and that's why it's so vital for us to begin to deal with this joint, the mind, the arena of faith, and get it in line with God's word. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word means change. Be changed. I know some of you may think, well, you know, I have some areas of my life I want to change. Well, he just tells you how. Renew your mind. Be changed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the perfect will of God for your life. Now, there will be no Christian progress or success without renewing the mind.
That's absolutely true.
It's not going to happen. And if we're wanting to understand how to grow in the things of God and how to obtain all the promises of God, it's not going to happen without renewing the mind. But you will never know the perfect will of God for your life without entering into this life process of renewing your mind. Somebody says, well, I renewed my mind last year, but I stopped. Well, you're probably back where you were before you start renewing your mind.
Yeah, because you can't keep from going backwards if you don't stay.
You have to keep doing it. Now, today, there's an issue of that I want us to look at in Luke chapter 15, dealing with the prodigal son, because there were some powerful things that happened. And be changed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the perfect will of God for your life.
You know, I'm thinking about what God said to Jeremiah. He said, talking to Israel, he said, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good. My plans are good. My perfect will is perfect good for you. If you begin to think like this, you can come over into that, but you let somebody talk you out of it, you ain't never going to get it.
But you got to start by, you got to read your word. You got to exchange your thoughts for God's thoughts, your ideas for God's ideas. And you're going to have to make your mind up to set your mind. And he says, keep it set. Set your mind. That's your training. Set it. Keep it set. How do I set it? I'm setting it every day on the Word of God, and I'm going to keep it set. Luke chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. Now, this is a perfect picture of what we're talking about here. Verse 11 says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. So this is not a makeup story.
There was a certain man that had two sons.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, he got involved in some reckless, loose type of things.
He got out from under his daddy and went wild.
He went plumb wild. Yeah, he went nuts. Wild. Yeah, and then he said, and when he had, verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the world. He joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk. He'd have just been appreciative of that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger, and I'll arise and go to my father and will say unto him, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no time in these verses of scripture where it said his son has ceased breathing, stopped breathing. But he said, this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, when you look at this thing, what was it that turned him? What was it that got him from the hogs to get back to his father and his father's provision? He had a new thought.
Came to himself.
He came to himself. He had a new way of thinking. It was a new thought, and it changed him. He turned. He said, let me quit thinking like this, and let me have a new thought. My father's got these servants and so forth, and he came back to him. And here's what the scripture says. When he came back to his father, the father said, this my son was dead. Well, what happened? He was separated from his father. Wrong thinking separated him from his father, but right thinking restored him back to his father and his father's provision. But look how he came back to the father. He didn't come back making a bunch of excuses for everything that happened. See, a man that makes excuses and will come with rationalizations of why he did what he did, he's just preparing to do it again. But a man that will repent is a man that says, I'm prepared to change.
He didn't blame it on somebody else.
He didn't blame it on anybody else. He accepted full responsibility for what happened, had a new thought, got back together with the father and his provisions. But what caused it to happen? Something happened up here. Something happened in that joint. And then he was able to get the provisions that the father wanted him to have all along. You know, I think there are a lot of people on Sunday mornings walking to church as spiritual zombies. They're separated from the father's provisions because of their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And until they change their mindset to line it up with the word of God, they're going to be spiritually separated from the father's provision. And the father's like, man, I want you to have them, but I need you to think differently. Think in a different way. You remember when Jesus said, I believe in Matthew 4:17, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, think differently, because the kingdom's at hand. And in order for you to get a hold of what the kingdom has for you, you're going to have to think differently. Now, he uses the word repent. Most people use that word repent when they go to God to say, well, forgive me, and they're asking for forgiveness. You hadn't repented until you've changed your thinking about the thing.
Turned around.
You've turned.
What was it in the book of Isaiah? Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. Turn around, turn his back on him and say, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Forsake his way,
his
way of thinking, his way of doing things.
Yeah. In the book of Ezekiel, let me finish here. And then he said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And look at the Father. Again, notice, he came to the Father. The Father didn't come to him. He came to the Father. And because of his attitude, because of his new way of thinking, this my son is alive.
Wow.
He's alive. Why? Because of that new way of thinking. He's alive because he's come to the place of changing his thinking. Now, you remember in church when we used to take a guy who came up to the altar and he had a smoking problem or he had a drinking problem. And, you know, folks would get around him and they'd pour oil on him and we'd pray and bind and loose. And the guy would go out and, you know, it wouldn't be 5 hours before he's back at it again. And he's wondering, well, I must be a terrible person. The preacher prayed for me. The deacons laid hands on me. They poured oil all on me. And here I am again. I still got this bottle in my hand or I'm still smoking this cigarette. When in fact, we believe in binding and loosing.
Yes, sir.
We believe in that. But for some people, they just need to renew their mind. They need to get to the place where they can find out a new way of thinking about that thing.
If he'll get under the Word and let the Word renew his mind, it begins to affect his flesh. Now, the binding and loosing takes hope.
Yeah.
The power was there to do it, but he wasn't connecting with it, and so it still is not having the effect, but it's still there. And when he began to change his way of thinking, then the things that were done in the Spirit take hold, and then you get the result.
And isn't that with everything? That we need to renew our mind first so that the things of the Spirit can take hold, because
absolutely.
You can't get the things
you
of the Spirit.
You can even through the gifts of the Spirit being manifested. Mm-hmm. And get a manifestation of that deliverance. But if you don't renew your mind, it'll lead you out of your healing, it'll lead you out of it, and somebody will come up and say, well, now see there. He really didn't get anything. Yeah, he really did, but it talked him out of it. Let me show you something here about this 15th chapter of Luke, right on that very thing. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He divided unto both of them. He gave both those sons his living. Now notice this. The boy didn't just take his money and walk out the front door. Look. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country.
Not many
When days. He got his hands on the goods, the devil started working on his mind and he left home. I don't think the boy, I don't think he gathered the goods from his father in order just to go blow it. He got led out of there. He quit listening to his father.
He quit listening to his father.
And he turned loose of his source of supply. Over in the book of Jeremiah, 17th chapter, talking about the heath in the desert, the little dried up, deserted little plant out there in the desert. The drought has dried him and stunted him. And it's the man that has departed from the Lord and put his trust in men. That's what this young man did. And it put him out there in that desert, and he was no challenge for the devil and for all that riotous living. He just partook of everything that come his way. But something happened to his mind in that few days there that he was still at home. He began to despise his daddy. He began to think little of his teaching and his training. Well, what was the first thing that happened when he came to himself? All of a sudden, he realized my daddy knew what he's talking about all the time.
Boy, you talking
about...
What
a fool I've been!
Yeah, you're right in the middle of that issue of honor.
Isn't that right?
You're right in
Isn't
the middle.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, you're
that's right in the middle.
You're right in the middle of that issue of honor, and that's where a lot of society is right now. They stop listening to their fathers.
Yeah.
And then the ones that don't have fathers, well, they quit. The ones that don't have fathers quit listening to their fathers, and now they wouldn't have to follow
this. I know you have. That the earmarks of that is it's always somebody else's fault. Adam blamed it on God and his wife. That's the way he started out. I'm not saying something here that I'm just saying that I don't see anywhere in there in the book of Genesis where it's recorded that he ever took responsibility for what he did out there that day. Things might have been totally different if he'd have said, God, I messed up here. My dear wife, I just left her to that sorry devil. I should have done something. I didn't do it. Oh. And instead of running from God and hiding when he heard God's voice, what would happen if he did run over there to him and said, oh, my dear father, my dear father. Creflo thinks, I don't know, because he didn't do it, so we don't know what. But I know God, and I know how full of grace and mercy he is. So that's one of the earmarks on both sides, that is somebody else's fault. If I'm white, then it's the black man. If I'm black, then it's the white man. If I'm the red man, it's the black man and the white man. I mean, it's somebody else's fault but mine that I don't have what I
ought to have here. Look at there. It's that rich man's fault. He got all that money and I ain't got anything. There ain't no justice in this. We need to have some social justice here. And anytime you hear that phrase, you begin to see a move towards socialism. It's God don't have anything to do with this. We got to straighten it out. Well, on the other hand, when a person comes to himself, the first thing he'll do is what this young man did. Oh, Lord, this is my fault. And he just grits it up and stands up before God and said, I confess my sin. I'm the one that did it. It wasn't my wife. I don't care what any of them did. It's my fault.
Makes you a powerful
boy,
man.
Here he comes. Yeah. He's coming out, and no devil in hell can keep him from it.
If you don't judge those thoughts, especially where excuses are concerned, if you don't judge the thoughts with those excuses, you remember that man who sat by the water and just complained, well, I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. I mean, you know, tumble over in the water, roll over in the water.
Do something.
You know.
Then lay there and cry.
Yeah. You're not ready to change until you're ready to accept responsibility. And as long as you keep making excuses, you're just demonstrating you're not ready to change.
Yeah.
And you see that all the time. The excuses are nothing but nails used to build houses of failure. And you will fail time and time again until you get delivered from all those excuses that you make. You got to have a desire to want to change. You got to want to. You got to quit making excuses, and you got to be ready to do it now. You can't say, well, we'll do it later on, sometime in the sweet by and by. You got to be willing to do it now. But this is what I love about this guy. He came, I have sinned against you and heaven, Father, and he accepted responsibility. Because he had to change, he had to judge that thought. And if we'll get busy about judging the way we think about certain things, then God can begin to open us up to just an understanding of how to get the job done. But if we don't judge our thinking, this is what I got to judge. This is what I judge every day. This is what I judge. I get to the house and I judge this. Now, how am I thinking about this? Your emotions are, forget about your emotions. How are you thinking about this? Because you being attached to the Father and his supply, or you being cloaked in deception, is going to be based on how you judge that thought. To line up with the Word of God or don't line up with the Word of God. And so spiritual death, a carnal-minded man equals death, but a spiritual mind equals life and peace.
And peace.
Peace.
And that's the key issue. The keynote is that peace, life and peace. Because the other guy not only has death, but oh, he's tormented. Mm. Oh, he's miserable. And I don't care what he gets his hands on, he's just more miserable. But the life and the peace that comes with it. And we out of time. Brother Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Homecoming 2010, August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, go to kcm.org. The average person can have up to 50,000 thoughts every day. These thoughts create patterns of thinking that build a blueprint and affect everything in life. So what have you been setting your mind on? Renew your mind to God's Word starting right now with Dr. Creflo Dollar's teaching series, How to Change Your Thinking. Transform your life by lining up your mind with God and His Word.
You have to change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you're going to have to change those words that you're exposing yourself to.
Exchange your thoughts for God's thoughts and promises. Eliminate destructive thought patterns and don't let a stronghold keep you from God's best. As you listen to this dynamic, powerful, and practical series, you'll notice a shift in your perspective on life. Things will begin to change. You'll see yourself like God sees you, blessed, confident, full of hope, and walking in faith and victory. Change your thinking and change your life. Order How to Change Your Thinking today at a special 10% saving for just $18. This powerful 4-CD set by Creflo Dollar will show you how changing your mind can change your life. For a discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call 800-600-7395 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Now, what you and I, anybody else, needs to do is exactly what Creflo and I are talking about today. I don't care where you are. I don't care what's happened in your life. You get up from where you are right now, and you go right straight to Jesus. You go right straight to your Heavenly Father, and you just come before Him and just lay it all at His feet. Amen. Today is your day of salvation. Believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I'm here to stay. Praise God. Now, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad for that whosoever, man, because I really thought that there's no way, even if I accepted Jesus, that I could ever be in the ministry because of my past. But I didn't know the word. But I found out later that, praise God, He died for the ungodly, and I qualified. Yeah. Amen. Now, you pray this. Pray it out loud where you can hear yourself. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I
receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive my forgiveness.
I receive my forgiveness.
I renounce sin.
I renounce sin.
And the devil.
And the devil.
And the past.
And the past.
And everything he stands for.
Everything he stands for.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that with Creflo and me today, I want to send you this little book, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading your Bible. Praise God. And you just get strong and wild as all the rest of us. Amen. We'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this, Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They have put together a free 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. To request your free salvation package, go to our website at kcm.org or call or write to us today. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day.